I think stability, especially speaking from a rural community, having more stability for our students and our families, because we ourselves in this area, especially being the county seat, we see a lot of transient populations that come to us with a lot of different needs. So whether that's, you know, food insecurity, and I know you'd say money, but financial security for the families, just stability of their home life. If we could just have the stability for people, I think that's where we could, you know, you see students thrive. And we as a school can't control everything outside of our walls. Right. So I, you know, when they come to us, we do our best to offer them that stability. But I would hope for like all of the students and the families that they would have stability outside of our school, because I think that really leads to where you have that chance to be successful.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Jason LeMay. Jason is the district administrator at the school district of Ladysmith, and that's in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. Jason, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Janet, for having me. I'm glad to be here today.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about Ladysmith and where that is, and a little bit about what a district administrator is.
Ladysmith, Wisconsin is the county seat in Rusk County, northern Wisconsin, just kind of right on north of 8, at Highway 8, they say. We are a district that is considered rural, surrounded by other rural school districts. The city of Ladysmith itself is a population of about 3,000. The school district itself is right around that 700 mark. We are in one of the poorest counties in all of Wisconsin. We have about 60% free and reduced for our students. And as the district administrator, my job here in Ladysmith is to help our students be successful and to help make sure we have a community product that's our school district, that we can have something the community can be proud of.
Awesome. And so a title in other states would probably be like a superintendent,
correct?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. And in Wisconsin, it's like a little interchangeable. I think the official title is typically district administrator, but more people know what superintendent means. So yeah. In Wisconsin, you can kind of go back and forth.
They interchange, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Gotcha. We were talking off the show before we started the show about SPED directors and how special education directors have lots of titles. The same thing. It's like depending on the state, depending on the region that you're in, like we love our titles, and that's okay. You know,
yes.
But that's something that I think is unique. I haven't heard that in other states, and I've talked to people in lots of different states. So I'm kind of curious to see now if others have that same thing. But here nor there. So tell us a little bit about you. You have an amazing story, and I want you to give you an opportunity to talk about it.
Well, I'll just say I've spent pretty much my entire, this is my 22nd year in education.
Yep, yep.
I have pretty much spent my entire career in rural school districts. Growing up, I grew up in a small town. It's called Cadott. Jokingly, Cadott, the town that God forgot. There's not a whole lot there. It's about an hour-ish, a little less than that from Ladysmith. The area Cadott does host music festivals. So growing up, we had Country and Rock Fest, which would bring people to our small area, which was always the kind of the funny thing people thought. The music festival was held in a hayfield. So people always assumed that was the village of Cadott was that hayfield, because that's where the music festival was. But after I finished my undergraduate, I was a high school English teacher in Colby, Wisconsin, which is the home of Colby cheese, if you didn't know that.
I love Colby cheese though.
Got my master's to UW-Madison and for my principal license. And then I transitioned to Partyville, which is near Madison in Wisconsin. And there I was high school principal and worked there for quite a few years. And left for a little bit, went to another district, Altoona, Wisconsin, which was kind of near Eau Claire. And then I actually went back to Partyville as principal after a couple of years. They had transitioned through a few principals during my time I was away, and they asked if I was interested in coming back, and I was. And so I made it back to Partyville. And then after a few years during COVID, and then after that, I was able to become the district administrator there. And then recently, this is my second year here at Ladysmith, I've been the district administrator here. During that time, I also, besides getting my district administrator license. I also just finished my PhD at Madison last May.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
With a focus on rural schools and communication strategies. It's quite a long title. It's communication strategies used by new and early career superintendents in operational referendum passage. So in Wisconsin, we depend a lot on referendums over the years now to help fund our schools, both operationally and then also through capital maintenance projects. Education-wise, though, I was raised by my great-grandma living in Cadott. So she had a little different perspective on life always. She was born in 1911. So you kind of put things, and I graduated. I was born in 1981, graduated in 99. So you can kind of tell a little bit of time. But growing up, you know, she was a big proponent of the importance of schooling and education. She obviously did not get to get a high school diploma. My father hadn't finished high school. And then my mother she was a high school graduate. But because of my parents' divorce, some other things, I ended up going to live with my great grandma. I think part of that was probably a little bit financially related to just supporting four kids and being a single mom. But again, community wise, I'm very lucky. I had good neighbors that were all retired. I think the youngest neighbor on our street was probably 65, maybe one or two younger than that, but grew up with a certain crowd, and they were always big proponents of education and how important, you know, small rural communities are. And that kind of just became where I have kind of made my career, is in rural schools and making sure people understand that value of rural education and how successful any student can be who goes to a public rural school, and they can go on to many amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. You can come from anywhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I look at fellow classmates of mine who are, you know, have, you know, very successful careers, are heads of companies, are, you know, still living, some are still living in the community and are, you know, big boosters for not only the school district, but the community, helping out. Business owners went on to other higher education, also working in other parts of the country. And those are, again, all people who came from, you know, rural education, that I think sometimes people discount that, saying, well, if you went to the small school or were in this rural school, you know, you can't go on to bigger and better things. And I think sometimes people also don't think they have that ability because of having been in rural schools. And then I think you have a lot of these people still have a deep-seated effort or desire to see their rural communities be successful. And I've seen that as an administrator now, when we have different foundations or groups of people who turn around and donate money back to the schools or these communities to really give the school where they found success and help lead them to be successful, turn on giving that back to us to then help the next generation of students be successful.
Yeah, for sure. My youngest son, and I'm not a booster, but their wrestling program, we supported it when we were living there and he was going to school. And every couple of years, the coach comes back to me and he says, "Hey," and I support them. And then I don't live near them anymore. We have a house up there, but not in that district. It's like, that program changed my son's life. And so if I can continue to support them and what they're doing, so that that program continues, that wrestling program continues. My brother was a wrestler, and, you know, so there's, and it was profound in his life. It was profound in my son's life. And, you know, it was that thing, that discipline that you have to have as a wrestler. There's lots of other things, but that was the thing that for him that really helped him to increase his confidence and know that he could be successful. His first year, he didn't win one single match, not one match. And that kid, he just kept doing it. And I tell you, the first time he won, I cried. I absolutely, it was his second year. He didn't even realize he won, and he pinned the kid, and he didn't even realize he'd won. But it was just one of those things where, so I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm successful enough that I can afford the, you know, it's not a lot of money, but absolutely. You need to. And if you are successful and you're not supporting those that brought you to where you are, you need to start doing it, because it matters.
And I would totally agree. When I was in Partyville, we had a sports complex there that was basically funded through the Bulldog Support Foundation. School district contributed some money each year towards it, but otherwise it was truly built with donations, and it was a top-notch, it is a top-notch facility, and that there showed the support. We did go to a referendum for a fine arts facility, about $300,000 or $400,000 donated towards the construction of that fine arts facility. And again, that's the community making sure that they loved what they had for experiences there and supporting that community. We similarly have something here in Ladysmith called the Leaf Foundation that alumni donate. And when you were just mentioned about people who graduate and still carry that with them, I'm lucky enough in my role to be able to give tours, especially like 50-year class reunions.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
fun. Around the buildings and showing them things and letting them reminisce about, you know, their days there. And it's amazing how those 4 years that may have been 50 years ago still bring back such memories for people, and they reminisce, and it just makes them so excited. I always find it so exciting when you start talking about programming we're doing today, and they talk about programming they had 50 years ago, and how excited some of those people get about, wow, what great opportunities you offer, what cool things you can do here. And probably the coolest thing that happened recently was one of the members of Leaf Foundation let me know that one of the people on the tour had made a donation to the foundation in my name, in my honor, because of that tour and just how excited they were about the district.
Nice.
So that just, again, and not that I expect everybody to make a donation,
right?
But still, it's just that cool, like that tour, that 30, 40 minute tour just resonated so much with that alumni that they felt that need to do that. And I think that is really important. I run the social media here for our school district, and we're preparing to launch in the next couple of months here kind of an alumni feature post every so often to also highlight where our alumni have gone, because I think sometimes two people do forget what other people accomplish after they leave the school walls and leave these communities. And they're still more than happy to be supporters of that because of the experiences they've had.
Yeah. Yeah. I took one of those tours. We just had our 40th. I did not go to my 40th, but I did go to my 35th, but I was born and raised in Grand Island, Nebraska. So, you know, and that it was really neat going back and looking at and seeing, you know, my brother was the wrestling champion his senior year, and he got second place his junior year, and still on the wall. Still on the wall 36 years later, you know, just kind of really neat stuff like that. And, you know, the picture of the whole class and, you know, and I was one of 1,200, I think, when we graduated. But and I was 23rd. Yay me, you know. But, it, you know, those and it does it form it. All of those things, all of the things that you have in your past, you know, people say, you know, would you change anything in your past? It was like, those are all the things that make you who you are. So,
definitely.
You know,
definitely.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So, yeah. How amazing it is, you know, that you had that experience and that you wonder, like, what would my life have been if I hadn't had that experience? What would my life have been if, you know, and there's always those forks in our lives, right? Where it's like, do you go this way? Do you go that way? I was going back to school, and I was also pursuing being a police officer, and I finally got the scholarship and was back in school. And then the stuff finally came through for me to be a police officer. And that was a fork. I mean, what do you do? Do you do this way? Do you that way? And I chose education. I chose to continue on. I don't know what I would be like, where my life would be if I had chosen to be a police officer. But
no, I think things all happen for a reason. I'm a big believer in you kind of end up where you need to be at that time. And sometimes it doesn't make sense initially. But I think that's even as, you know, as a former, you know, as a teacher and as a principal and as, you know, as a district administrator, that's having those conversations even with students or staff or families about, like, you know, when they say, what should we do now? Or where should I go to school for? It's like really like, you know, I can't tell you exactly. You're just going to end up being where you're meant to be. And I think even coming to where I've been throughout my career, like things I didn't expect to do. I never expected to be a district administrator ever. I had, you know, my district administrator I had in Partyville was the one, and my board there that I worked with, they really were proponents of, you know, you should really consider this. It was the same as a principal. My former principal, she was the one who really told me, like, you should really consider going into this and doing this. And so I think those things, it's the advice of those people, but, you know, decisions you make and how you end up where you are at kind of just, or I think sometimes meant to be. I always like to use the example when I went back to Partyville, when I came back, it was right when COVID hit. And so I feel like sometimes some of the experiences we had in our district, we did not have some of the kind of the anger or the, you know, people weren't as angry at the school as some other districts experienced during that time around us, mm-hmm. in some of the, or Dane County or those other areas. And I should mention, so Partyville is in Columbia County, which is kind of buffers right up against Dane County, which is like kind of like by Madison and those areas. But okay. I think people knew me from having been there as the principal for all those years prior, that as we went through not knowing what we were doing, trying to figure stuff out, they really like, okay, we know Jason, we know like he's got the best interest in mind, we'll kind of go along with what their plans are. And I think we really came through that experience quite well. And, you know, again, some things could have probably been done a little bit different, but overall, I think we had really good experiences. But I also say I was meant to be there during that, mm-hmm. that time, because mm-hmm. like I was there because that was my kind of need or my purpose there. Yeah. And, you know, same with as district administrator, I came as when I became district administrator, we had to go to an operational referendum that first year. And again, going through that experience led, you know, me to kind of focus in a little bit more on my dissertation, which then led to some other things. And now I have presented and worked with some other places about that type of stuff too. And so I just, things are just meant to be. And to your point, you never know what's going to happen. And I never thought I would be sitting in this kind of seat at this mm-hmm. point in my life either. So I really, when right. I became a teacher, I kind of just assumed I'd be a teacher till I retired. So
yeah. Occupational therapy shouldn't be one more thing on your plate. It should be a solution. Lighthouse Therapy offers school-based occupational therapy services that actually work for you and your staff. Our OTs have an average of 16 years of experience in schools, and they support everything from handwriting to fine motor to sensory integration. And you can choose from 3 different service models, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person. It's OT that fits your workflow without the chaos. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more. Yeah, life has its moments, that's for sure. So you are now Dr. Jason yes, LeMay. I yes. should have introduced you as Dr. Jason LeMay. That's something to be proud of.
Quite all right. My daughters just call me Daddy Doctor because they got to come to the graduation and stuff, and they don't quite understand what all happened there, but it was a cool mm-hmm. experience to be there. And I don't even some days, some people call me Dr. LeMay, and I don't quite always register mm-hmm, even immediately right. that they're talking to me. So.
Right. My husband went back to school when my kids were little during the recession of 2008, 2009. He lost his job, as many people did. We were living in Michigan at that time, and he was a skilled laborer. And he had associate's degree. And I always tell them, I was like, you are too smart for what you're doing. And he would get so frustrated because people wouldn't listen to him. And I'm like, you need to go back to school. You need to go back to school. Well, God took his job and he went back to school but it was tough. I mean, it was tough. He went to school full time. He was carrying anywhere from 16 to 24 credits a term, which is insane. but he wanted to get done as quickly as he could, because he was our primary breadwinner when he lost his job. And, you know, I, as a speech pathologist, could step up, but then I became the primary breadwinner. And I'll tell you, that was really great for our marriage, because we realized that we were set in the roles. We were meant to be in the roles that we were in, and flipping it around, God really said, look, here's what he does. Here's what she does, you know, and it's not, you can't just, you know, you just, you know, he used to say, just make the kids behave. It's like,
all that easy.
So I turned around to him when he said, the kids are driving me cut. Well, just make the kids behave, right? And so it was one of those things where it was like, so, but my point to all of that was, when he graduated, we all graduated. It wasn't just, he was like, oh, I don't yet. Yes, you do need to go. You need to go for me. You need to go for yourself. And you need to go for those kids. And we were all there. And there's pictures. And it's 10, 15 years ago now. But, well, yeah. Yeah, almost 15 years ago now. But it was us. It was an accomplishment that he accomplished like you did, but your family and the people that supported you, that's really cool. And that matters. Just like your grandma, your great grandma telling you education is important. You're giving that example to your children.
No, and I agree. And that's one of those things that's so, I think, hard for, like, I was the first person in my family to even go to college. So I was definitely the one navigating that whole, and that was before so much. I mean, I look at the resources and what schools do now to help. And, you know, back in the old days when I was looking, it was like, there's this thing called an ACT. You should probably take it if you want to go to a 4-year. Right. And then, like, here's a list of colleges you can go to. You just pick some. And, like, I didn't ACT prep. What was that? Like, that wasn't even a thing. Like, you just went and took the test. And, you know, same thing with picking colleges. It was like, okay, I know where Madison is, and I knew, and UW Eau Claire was close. And so I did, like, sign up for both of those. And actually, I was originally going to Madison, and then because my great grandmother needed more help, that's why I switched to Eau Claire, because it was closer to where I could still take care of her. And that was one of the reasons when I started my master's, I made the decision to go through Madison, because I had always wanted to do that. But that was, even that commitment, I was, you know, teaching in Colby, that was a 2.5-3 hour drive to go down there. And I did that for 2.5 years, once or twice a week, depending on what my schedule was. And then when I was doing my dissertation and my doctorate part, I was back up in this area. So I was still driving the 2.5-3 hours. But so when you talk about your family, it was my wife and children understanding that, okay, dad's going to be gone today because he's going to not get home till, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock.
Right.
And great advisors and stuff at the university too, that were willing. The joke kind of was, I drove the furthest to ever come to class, you know, but it was, you know, again, it's a huge commitment, like you said. And I think people, one of the women that I worked with at Partyville, she's been there. Well, she started there in 1970 and she's still teaching there. Phenomenal lady. But she always would say too, education is the one thing they can never take away from you. And right. So there's that value there. And that was something my great grandmother always said too. Like, once you have that knowledge, you can't take it away from you.
Yeah. And it's so true. It's so true. And statistically, people who get a degree I'm sure it's changed, but you make $1 million more in your salary just in your, and that was back when I was going to college, so I know it's more than that now, just by getting that bachelor's degree. And then you go and get an advanced degree, and, you know, I mean, and it changes your perspective. And even if, you know, it's 2.5 years and you look back and go, oh my gosh, how did I do those 2.5? And the same thing for my husband. And when we did, we look back and it was like 18 months and it was like, it felt like the longest 18 months of our lives. But, you know, we just shoved through. We just kept on because we knew that there was a finish line, and that finish line was worth the effort that we were putting in. So, you know, so if you're thinking about, if you're a listener and you're thinking about going, oh, there's no time like present. No time like the present.
No, and I'll say, as schools, like, what we really, I've always, like, tried to advocate, it doesn't always have to either be a university degree. I mean, there's any further education, whether you can do something that's, you know, a certificate or an associate degree, because you can always build or add on to that in the future. I think, you know, sometimes you see, you know, students that, like, they get that job, like, as a, like a student, and they're making $15, $16, $20 an hour, and it's really good money. They kind of forget, like, hey, but what happens, you know, down the road when you want to have a family to support? You may want to have a different career. So I think, you know, we, as most Wisconsin schools do, promote also students taking college courses or tech college courses while they're still in high school. And the district does then cover those costs. And so then we're always trying to look at new pathways, new certificates, add-ons that students can get. Ideally, a student can, you know, we will, as a district, end up paying maybe a semester or even a year of college for the kid, so they can get ahead. Because in some of these areas too, that cost is so prohibitive initially, but once you have it, again, they can't ever, you know, take that away.
Yeah, you can't take it away from you. That's for sure. And it's worth it. It is totally worth it. I don't have my PhD. I never wanted to go. So God bless you for chasing it. As a speech pathologist, and I wasn't somebody that wanted to go into research. If you go into research, you should have a PhD. But I never went that path. I just wanted to serve kids, you know, serve people. But even just getting my master's and going back, and I was 26 when I graduated with my master's, because, you know, I went for a year, didn't what I wanted, quit for a year. I went back part-time for a year, couldn't get the classes, quit for another year. Then I was working in New York, making New York City, making $22,000 a year. I was broke. And I looked at the guy who I was his secretary for and went, this man is not any smarter than I am. And I went, I need to go back to school. And that's, you know, that was the motivation for me to go. I loved at that time, you know, young and in living in New York. And but boy, I was broke. I was no money.
I can't imagine.
Well, that was in the '80s, you know, so you can't imagine. And I commuted. I lived in Westchester County, which is even, you know, even more, not just because I had that cost, but living in the city, I couldn't, there's no way I could have done that. But it was eye opening, and it was a point in my life. It again, it's one of those things that pushed me to get my education, right? There are those catalysts, like my husband losing his job and I truly am a Christian. I believe that God guides us if we listen. And certainly, you know, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair if I didn't listen and if I didn't do the things that I've done. So I'm grateful, but it's hard. It's very hard, and it's hard. It's a lot of work, but it is worth it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up.
So. And I think, again, it's having that support system. And then even if you don't have the support system, I think you have to sometimes look for those other, because there's sometimes people who don't understand those benefits, and it's helping make sure you understand there is a benefit there. And you'll find somebody who will be there to support you along the way. It might not be in your household, but it's definitely, I think, at wherever you're learning, that institution of higher learning, your boss that might be pushing you towards that, a supervisor, even a friend. And I think there's those huge advantages there for, and I'm always about continuous improvement. How are we getting better at ourselves? How do we, no matter what we do, we can be, think we're the best at something. There's always somebody else that's going to have more knowledge than us in a topic or an area that we can learn from. And that just makes us better at what we're doing.
Yeah. And you never stop learning. That's the other thing. You never stop. Does not matter how old you get. You never stop learning. There's always something else to learn. So, okay, Jason, I have one other question for you. So if you could, and I don't always ask this question. I used to say I ask it all the time, but I don't. So it just depends on the conversation, but I'd love to hear your perspective. So if you could fix miraculously one thing in your world, and it can't be money, because we all know that schools need more money. We all know that, right? Anything but money. What would that, in your world, like it's you know, you have this thing, it comes to mind, and if I never had to deal with that again and it was fixed, what would that one thing be?
That is a hard, there's so many.
Yeah, I know. And I only asked for one.
I think I would say one of the things that I really wish we could help with is just the, I think, stability, especially speaking from a rural community, having more stability for our students and our families, because we ourselves in this area, especially being the county seat, we see a lot of transient populations that come to us with a lot of different needs. And so whether that's, you know, food insecurity, and I know you didn't say money, but financial security for the families, just stability of their home life. If we could just have that stability for people, I think that's where we could, you know, you see students thrive. And we as a school can't control everything outside of our walls. Right. So I, you know, when they come to us, we do our best to offer them that stability. But I would hope for like all of the students and the families that they would have stability outside of our school, because I think that really leads to where you have that chance to be successful. Right. I mean, again, my family, historically, if you look at my personal family situation, how I grew up, I should not be theoretically as successful as I am just because of some of this stuff. But I would argue I had the stability of my great grandma and you had the stability of a neighborhood that was there to support and a community that was there. And so I think I would say one of the things would just be having stability that would help us with so many things, because that would allow us to also address the mental health things, all these other things that I, you know, probably could be other options, but you have that ability there if there's a stability there and a kind of a starting point and a foundation that we can build on from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great answer. Absolutely great answer. So Jason, where should people go if they want to learn more about Lady Smith and about you?
Definitely. They can go to our Facebook page. You can look for School District of Lady Smith on Facebook. That's where we kind of post all of our great stuff. If you ever want to really have nothing better to do with your time, you can always look up my dissertation. You can just search me, UW-Madison, under my name. Otherwise, people can certainly reach out to me at the school district if they would ever want to. It's just jlemay@sdlwi.org. And I'd be happy to talk more with anybody or if information they want. I think I do presentations. I will be at our state education convention Nice. With Dr. Chris Saldana, who is talks about rural schools and financial stuff. I'll be presenting there. And then I have some other presentations coming up about school finance and communication and referendums and so forth. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Jason. And LeMay is LEMAY for those of you that are listening, if you want to look him up.
Yes.
And Lady Smith is just like it sounds, Lady Smith. So, no weird spelling there.
No. Party bill, people always thought was Partyvi. It was Parde. So it was always a funny thing when people would, it's Pardeeville, but it's, they kind of put it together as Partyville because it's more fun to say it that way.
Yeah,
but that was always fun as a principal. You're the principal or district administrator of Partyville. My wife, actually, when I first met her, she thought that I was joking because her sister met me first and told her I met the principal of Partyville, and it was actually at Country Fest in Cadott, and she told her sister this, and her sister thought that I was just lying, and it was just some random guy telling her this. So that's a really funny story about how we first met and that whole thing, and it all starts with her sister telling her she met the principal at Partyville at a country music concert, festival, in a hayfield.
What's the one in? It's driving me nuts. What is the one in South Dakota? There's another big.
I don't know that one.
It's the from the 60s. That's gonna. Oh well, I'm gonna have them cut that out because you know what I'm talking about. Like the 60s, they came and free love. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can't think what it's called, though.
And it's stock something.
Woodstock.
There you Woodstock. Go. Woodstock.
Yes.
There we go.
Now that we got it,
I'll let them leave it in there. But Woodstock. That reminds, when you were talking about the party that you have up there and stuff, that's what I was thinking of. And the whole, this whole time I'm like, what is the name? Stock something. I never went.
Yeah.
I was born in the 60s. I didn't go up in the 60s. The free love, that was my parents, that wasn't me. So my mom was the maxi skirts, not the mini skirts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So anyway, well, you have been an excellent guest, and it's been a pleasure to have you
this
show.
Great
talk
with you also.
Yeah, and just enjoy. It's today is December 17th, so Christmas is just around the corner. So have a Merry Christmas, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.